In the gospel today, we hear about Jesus being in the wilderness. This particular translation translates the Hebrew word into wilderness, excuse me, the Greek word into wilderness. It could also be translated into the desert or the barren land. The point is Jesus leaves civilization, if you will, leaves a community and goes out and spends these 40 days praying and fasting. He's led by the Spirit to do this. And in those 40 days, as tradition has it, his mission became even clearer. He knew from where he came. He knew why he was sent. He knew he was, quote unquote, ordained by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And now he needed to return to the community, to society, and tell them about how the kingdom of God is at hand, repenting, believing in the good news, being healed, brought joy and hope and peace. That is his message to the community and to the congregation. As we consider this, I want to ask you how Jesus managed the 40 days in the wilderness. In his humanness, we know that the angels waited on him. But do you think they were, you know, wiping his brow, spoon-feeding him? No, he was fasting. He was praying. God's grace, represented by the angels, was there. But how does a human person unite themselves with grace for 40 days, or for 40 years, or for 80 years? Whether we're journeying through Lent or journeying through life, or journeying through whatever freezing cold desert we happen to have just come through, or are in the process of going through, whatever trial, if you will, or whatever journey, how do we in our humanness unite ourselves to God's grace? Just like Jesus had to, in his humanness, unite himself to God's grace so that the angels could help him, so that the angels could help us. God's grace helping us. That's a question. Because I think that each of us have our wilderness. Each of us have our barrenness. Each of us have our desert. Each of us has our 40 days. Each of us have our journeys and our trials. And there are times that we are fasting and we are praying. We are abstaining. We are in pain. We are struggling. I don't think this. I know this. Personally, and as I have listened to others of you share about it. So if we're on this journey, and perhaps it's even a penitential journey, how do we unite ourselves? How do we allow ourselves to be united with God's grace so we can make it through? So we can make it to the resurrection, to the Easter. I think that is the key right there. Is that we keep the resurrection, we keep the Easter in mind. Jesus kept, in his time in the desert, I have to imagine, the kingdom of God in mind. We need to keep the kingdom of God, the resurrection, the Easter, the joy in mind. As we journey through, as we carry on through whatever journeys we are taking, we need to keep the end point in mind. And the reason we do that is so that we can have hope. The word hope is a word that we use for uniting ourselves with God's grace, for keeping our eye on the prize, if you will, for managing our way through this. To keep hope, we need to have signs and symbols. The empty cross, the empty tomb, if you would rather, is a great sign and symbol for this. The rainbow was a sign that God placed in the clouds so that he would remember and that we would remember that ultimate destruction will not come upon us if we trust in Him. Throughout the scriptures, other signs are given to us. And in our own lives, we have signs and symbols of hope. Some people see a healthy new baby as a sign of hope. Some people see the sunrise as a sign of hope. Some people see the flowers coming through in the spring as a sign of hope. Yeah, there's just so many different things that we encounter that give us hope. And we need to have hope. If we don't have hope, why would we bother? We wouldn't bother with penance. We wouldn't bother with reconciliation. I mean, why would we bother trying to make ourselves whole in general or our relationships whole if we didn't have the hope that they would possibly succeed? And that's the true definition of despair, that we don't believe we'll succeed, so we don't bother, we don't have hope, we truly just give up. Some people say that the ultimate sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit, is the fact that we give up hope. That's pretty major. So we want to keep having hope. And we need to place the signs and the symbols that give us hope or that represent that hope before us. We wouldn't bother with a Lenten journey. We wouldn't bother with 40 days of fasting or of praying or of almsgiving. We wouldn't bother with any of our journeys if we didn't have hope that there would be a result of that journey. And in the case of our relationship with God, healing and wholeness, peace and joy, the absolute experience of love, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus made it through the wilderness because the kingdom of God had come near. It was about to be realized. Through his death and his resurrection, the kingdom of God would be there. With his presence, with his healing, with his teaching, the kingdom of God would be present, would be there. And ultimately, it'll be fully realized when the kingdom of God comes about fully, completely. I want to be there. I want to keep that in mind. I want to have hope through this Lenten season. What else will give us hope? Today, those who have gathered together will be having communion. That's a great symbol of hope. It's the union with Jesus. It's the foretaste of the heavenly banquet feast. Those of us who are not there, we can either have communion at home, take a simple piece of bread, take a simple cup of wine or of grape juice, or even just water, and realize that that sharing in spirit is sharing in the spirit of Christ. It's sharing in spirit with the community of believers. It's sharing in the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't or aren't able to participate in any form of communion, remember the communions that you have had, the communions that you will have again in the future. For the past, when we experience promises fulfilled, and in the future, when we look for the fulfillment of promises, we will end up having great hope. This season of Lent is about hope. Every journey we are on has to be about hope. That is the path of righteousness. That's the path that Christ leads us to and through and on until we reach the end point. The psalm spoke about a path, and that the paths of the Lord are righteousness, are truth, I would say of hope. I like this little phrase, we need to hope, not mope. Yep, we need to hope and not mope. So, don't mope. Have hope. Don't have despair. count on hope. Don't have darkness, have light. And again, not in that Pollyannish way, but in a real way. In a confident way. In a way that says that you know that your God is with you. And that you know that at the end of every death comes life. At the end of every tomb is resurrection. At the end of every journey is the fulfillment. And at the end of this life is the fullness of the kingdom of God. With hope, we can have everything. With God's grace, we can have hope. With God, we can have grace. So we come as sinners. We come as people not whole. We come to the table. We come to the cross. We come to the Lord. Poor and needy for Him. Wanting fulfillment and wholeness. Hoping for fulfillment and wholeness. Our prayer is that we may journey on and arrive at our destination. And in that process, we can be blessed, and we can bless others who are co-journeying with us. This is our prayer. May it be granted through Christ our Lord. Amen. Then we sing of our prayer and of our journey. The hymn is number 486, Come Ye Sinners. And it's not so much the starting point where we're at right now. It's the ending point. For there are 1,000 charms, unbelievable and uncountable graces that our Lord gives to us. Let's sing. Let's pray. Let's walk, let's journey, let's hope. In Christ's name, amen.